But if you have your Bible and would like, however you access the Word, your tablet, your phone, your Bible, turn with me over to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 1. I'm going to read a familiar passage of Scripture this morning from 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 1. The scripture said, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee, or with you, is too strait, it's too small for us. Let us go unto Jordan and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there, that we may dwell there. And Elisha answered and said, Go. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So Elisha went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they were cutting down wood. And as one was falling a tree or a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And the young man showed him the place, and Elisha cut down a stick and cast it into the water, and the iron did swim. Therefore he said unto the young man, Take it up and put it in thy hand, and he took it." And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Ask that you bow your heads and let us pray together for God's anointing and ministering the word. Heavenly Father, we are grateful today that we have the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. We are thankful this morning, O God, for your touch as we have worshiped and as we have praised and as we have offered our thanksgiving in our songs of praise this morning. We come now to the reading of the word of the living God. And Father, I just ask that you would put your words in my mind, in my heart, and in my mouth. I understand, Lord, that of my own self, I am inadequate for the task that is at hand. And I rely completely upon you. I ask you to bless me and help me to be a blessing. I pray that you would empower what is spoken here this morning by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let nothing be done except to glorify your name and to edify the people of God. Father, for all of these things, we will be eternally grateful and we will be eternally thankful. We ask them now in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone in agreement said amen. So I want to title, as you can see, my message this morning, The Cutting Edge. The Cutting Edge. And I want to begin this morning by just sharing with you three notable quotes from men that were of great renown in generations gone by. Three notable quotes that contain a great deal of truth that I believe this morning that all of us would do well to wrap our head around. The first quote is from a past president, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. President Kennedy said, "There are risks and costs to every course of action, but those costs are far less than the long-range risks and costs of comfortable inaction." Every course of action has a certain amount of risks and costs, but the costs are far less than the long-range risk of doing nothing. An American author by the name of Max Dupree is quoted as saying, "In the end, it is important to remember that we cannot become what we need to be by remaining what we are. Hello? Canadian media mogul Ronald Osborne said, "Unless you do something beyond what you have already mastered, you will never grow." Unless you do something beyond what you have already comprehended to do, you will never grow. Each one of these men were in essence saying that we cannot afford to become stale or stagnant in our pursuit of excellence. What they were really getting at, bottom line, all three of those quotes, they were getting at the fact that we cannot afford to become complacent or listless or apathetic when it comes to desiring to continue to grow and to strive to enrich our lives if we want to be successful. I understand this morning that they were talking about achieving material success. They were talking about achieving success in this realm of life. But I also understand this morning that, and I believe that it is true in our relationship with God, that we must never come to the place where we are not extending ourselves and striving to grow. Let me just tell you right up front this morning that I believe one of the most damnable things in the church and one of the most damnable things in our own life is mediocrity. It's so easy for us at times to become complacent and comfortable right where we are. And we tend to accept the ordinary and the mundane. And if we're not careful, we'll become so comfortable right there that we cease to grow and enlarge in our walk with God. This is what Jesus said to the Laodicean church concerning mediocrity and lukewarm attitude. He says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 15, he said, "I know your works, that you are neither cold or hot." You're somewhere right in the middle. "I would that you were either cold or hot." And then he goes on to say, "Because you are lukewarm." Because you are neither cold nor hot, you are just right in the middle of the fence. "I will spew you out of my mouth." The Bible also says in the book of Amos, chapter 6, and verse number 1, the scripture said, "Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion." The scriptures, those scriptures that we just shared, they are telling us that if we're not careful, that apathy and indifference can become a part of our life and it will hinder our walk. Those two things, apathy and indifference, can become a very powerful influence in our life and a very destructive force in our life. Our text this morning is going to reveal to us about a young man who had a revelation of how serious it was to be limited and confined. And yet he lost his only way to grow. He lost his edge. He lost his edge. Look again with me, if you will, this morning at verse number 1. And the first thing that I would like to share with you is I want you to see the concern of this young man. I want you to see the concern that he has. The Bible says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell is too small for us." This young man, he looked around and he realized that the place that they were living in was too small. It was inadequate. It was insufficient. It was not enough. And now I understand this morning that the sons of the prophets, and I would desire for you to understand that they made this statement in a response to a very literal situation. The dwelling place or the facility that they were dwelling in had become too small. It had become too confined to accommodate them. And so understand that they are making a literal assessment about their situation. They come to Elisha and say that the place where we are living is just not enough. It's too small. What I want you to realize this morning from saying those things, I want you to realize that they recognize their need to grow. They recognize their need to expand. They recognize that in order to be more effective and in order to be more efficient, that they were going to have to change their dwelling place. Beloved, can I tell you this morning that I believe that their statement can be viewed as a metaphor to teach us some valuable lessons. Understand that there are some powerful spiritual implications, amen, for each one of us, because too often the place where some of us are living spiritually becomes too small. It becomes too confined. It becomes too restrained, too restrictive. Pastor Gary, what do you mean? I am saying this morning that all too often, if we are not careful, we will become caged in by our own small thinking. If we're not careful, we will be confined to our own small-minded faith. If we're not careful, we'll become restricted and constricted to our own small-minded efforts. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Sometimes, if we are not careful, we will hem ourselves in, and in our own spiritual space will become too small for us. If we're not careful, we'll be restrained by our small-minded dedication unto the Lord. Amen. Their situation was a very literal building. It was too confining. I tell you this morning that often our spiritual confines become too small and too inadequate. Saints of God, I believe that the cry that parted the lips of this young man needs to be the heart cry concerning our relationship with God. Our anthem must be, Lord, I want more of you. I desire to have more of you. Do you remember reading in the Psalms where the psalmist declared, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so longs my soul after you, O God. The Bible said that the apostle Paul declares in the book of Philippians, he says, oh, that I may know him. Amen. How many of you know the apostle Paul knew him? But Paul was saying, I don't know him the way that I want to know him. I don't know him the way that I long to know him. I want more of him in my life. I desire to have more of his spirit and more fellowship and more of his touch in my heart and in my life. I believe this morning that it is time for us to realize that the place that we are living in our relationship with God is much too small, and there is so much more that God is desiring for each one of us to experience in him. How many of you this morning, amen, are hungry for more of the Lord, hungry for more of God's spirit in your life, and hungry for more of the presence of God's joy and God's peace in your heart? I'm telling you, you can have it, because there's more to be had. Turn with me, if you will. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. And he writes and he says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 14 through verse 19. He says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul is saying, this is the reason that I fall to my knees and I pray. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Lord, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Here's the reason that Paul is driven to his knees. He says, "I'm driven to my knees so that I can pray for you that God would grant you." My prayer, what drives me to my knees is my prayer that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He says, "My prayer for you is that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend." Now get that. Paul is saying, this is what drives me to my knees to pray. The reason that I fall to my knees and I seek the Lord is for you. I pray that God will strengthen you with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I pray that God will give you the riches of his glory. And I pray that you will be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. What a powerful prayer. What he's saying is, you may have experienced the Lord in your life, and that's wonderful. But what he's saying is, he is wider than what you have experienced. He is deeper and he is higher and he is longer and he is wider. There's so much more to be explored. There's so much more to be had. Amen. Let me just tell you this morning, if you head off walking that way and somebody else headed off walking the other way, God is bigger than that. Amen. Amen. Stand on an apple crate and jump straight up, and God is higher than that. Hello? God, what I'm saying this morning is that God is so much bigger than our current experience. God is so much more than our current experience. And Paul is saying, what drives me to my knees and drives me to pray is that you may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the fullness of God. Amen. God's love is deeper than our current experience. His grace is wider than our current experience. Amen. His mercy is higher than our current experience. Amen. What Paul is saying, amen, is that God is bigger than our current relationship. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we just get comfortable living in the confines of our smallness, when there is so much more that we could enjoy. When there is so much more that we could enjoy. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you content in your relationship with Jesus? Are you growing in your relationship with God? Or are you content to be living in a small place? Pastor Gary, what do you mean by living in a small place? We know that we are living in a small place when we seek or we cease to make Christ the number one priority in our life. We are living in a small place when we are more concerned about our own needs than the needs of others. We are living in a small place when we are more concerned about our agenda than building the kingdom of God. Amen. We are living in a small place when we fail to love our neighbor as ourself. Amen. And to do unto others as we would have them to do unto us. We're living in a small place when we begin to settle for the ordinary and the mundane and the general
just the routine of daily life. I'm telling you, Jesus said that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Brother, I want some abundant life. I want some joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. I want some peace that passes all understanding. Amen. I want more of God in my life. Hallelujah. And the good news is there's more of him to be had. Hello? The good news is there's more of him to be had. My prayer, what drives me to my knees, my prayer is that God would strengthen you with might by his Spirit in your inner man. I pray for each one of you on a daily basis. My prayer for you is I told somebody here just a few days ago, you are like my children. I pray over you and I pray that God would strengthen you and that God would bless you and that God would increase you and that God would give you blessings and that God would cause you to grow and that you might be able to know the strength and the blessing of God. Let me just tell you this morning, amen, I pray that Elevation Worship Center comes to the place where we realize that we need to grow in the Lord. God's word declares that we are commissioned to grow and to mature. God's word declares that we are to move or grow from faith to faith and from glory to glory. His word declares that we are to grow line upon line and precept upon precept, and we are to continually be advancing in the Lord. His word declares that we are to move away from milk and begin to eat the meat of the word. We were never called to be comfortable and stagnant. We were never called to be stationary and immobile, brother. We were called to be growing, amen, and coming to the full knowledge of Jesus Christ and growing up to be like him. Amen, amen, amen. Isaiah chapter 54 in verse number 2. The Bible tells us that we are to enlarge the place of our tent. We are to lengthen our cords and strengthen our stakes. In other words, amen, that's symbolic. In other words, he's saying, grow, enlarge yourself. The prayer of Jabez, how many of you know a few years ago, the prayer of Jabez was all the rage. Everybody's forgot about it now. This is what Jabez prayed. He said, Oh God, that you would bless me and indeed and enlarge my coasts. Expand me. Allow me to grow. Allow me to grow and be enlarged, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that I may not grieve. And God, the Bible said, granted him his request. When was the last time you prayed, God, help me grow? I'm tired of just being in this confined area. God, help me grow. Help me to grow in wisdom. Help me to grow in strength. Help me to grow in knowledge. I'll tell you something this morning. There is not a one of us that has anything that we did not receive from God. And if you want to grow, then pray and say, God, get me in the right soil. Get me in the right place. Feed me with the presence of the Holy Ghost and enlarge my coast and cause me to grow in you. Amen. We need to recognize this morning that there is more out there for us to enjoy. Recognize this morning that there is a room to grow. There is room in our spiritual experience for expansion. Some of you need to just tell the devil, excuse me, I need some room. Excuse me, I need some room. I refuse to accept mediocrity and the mundane. I refuse to stay in the confines of this small place. I refuse to fight the same old temptation over and over again in my life. I refuse to go to church and remain comfortable and unchanged week after week and year after year. I refuse to stay in a small place. I'm ready to grow. Amen. This young man recognized that they needed some room to grow. I'm here to tell you this morning that we all need some room to grow. We all need to grow in the Lord. The second thing that I want you to look at this morning, or the second thing that I would like to examine, is the young man's course of action. In verse number 5, the Bible says that he was falling a tree, a beam, and the axe head fell off of the axe and fell into the water. And he cried, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." Now stop and think about this for a moment this morning. He realizes his need for growth. He realizes that there is a need for expansion. And the borrowed axe, his only avenue through which to grow, is now lost. His only avenue through which to grow is now lost. He lost his cutting edge. What is the cutting edge? That phrase is often used in the world of fashion, in the world of technology. You hear that phrase when it comes to scientific discoveries and the latest innovations. If a person is said to be on the cutting edge, then they are considered to be a pioneer. They are considered to be ahead of their time. They are considered to be ahead of the pack. They are breaking new ground. Those who are on the cutting edge are the thinkers and the movers and the shakers and the entrepreneurs that are leading the way and making things happen. Let me just tell you, in the realm of the Spirit, having the cutting edge means being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Having the cutting edge means being in tune with God, and it means walking in the anointing of the Holy Ghost and being about our Father's business. When we are walking in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, we have the cutting edge in our life. The thing that gives us the ability to grow, that is to say that the Holy Spirit, amen, will cause us to be effective. The Holy Spirit will cause us, amen, to be effective in the work of God. Amen. And when we're walking in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God, our words are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let me give you some examples. Acts chapter 2. The Bible said on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood and preached boldly to them. And the Bible says that they, the unsaved, the unbelieving, they were pricked in their heart. And they were convicted by the power of Peter's words. The King James says they were pricked in their hearts. In the Greek, that means that they were stabbed. They were sliced through to their heart. Cutting edge. Acts chapter 5, when Peter spoke to the Sanhedrin, amen, the Bible said that they were cut to the heart. In the Greek, it means that they were sawn asunder, or that they were cut to the quick. Again, the cutting edge. In Acts chapter 7, verse number 54, when Stephen confronted the Jewish leaders, the Bible said they were cut to the heart. In other words, what I'm saying this morning is that it is obvious that all three of these examples show us that the anointing has a cutting edge to it. Let me just tell you this morning, when you lose the anointing, you lose your cutting edge. You lose your ability to grow. Hello? We need to maintain the edge of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when we try to operate without the effectiveness of the, or without the effective edge of the Holy Ghost, we lose our cutting edge and we will cease to be effective for the kingdom of God. I don't care how talented you are. I don't care if you are a great orator. I don't care, amen, what a literary mind you may have. Amen. Let me just tell you the words, amen, that God wants people to hear are not just enticing words of men's wisdom, but God wants individuals to experience the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And the only thing that will make us effective is God's Spirit. And I want to point out to you this morning that it was borrowed. This young man's axe was borrowed. What is the point of the borrowed axe? Why is that important? Amen. Let me just tell you that the young man was totally dependent upon someone else to help him grow. Amen. You hear that? So he was totally dependent upon someone else to help him grow. Some of us have been depending on mom and daddy's prayers for a long time. It's time you start praying on your own. Some of us have been depending on others to dig out the truth of God's word. You can only grow if you dig it out yourself. Amen. Some of us, amen, we've been waiting for someone else to sharpen our edge and to remove the obstacles to our growth. You cannot depend on anyone to break your bondage. You have to get the edge for yourself. The word of God declares that you are an overcomer, not that I am an overcomer for you, but you have to get in a quiet place and get in a place before the Lord where he sharpens your edge. You must maintain the power of God in your life. Can you say amen? T.D. Jakes tells a story, and I love this story. T.D. Jakes tells a story of a young man that came before him for prayer one day. The young man said to Bishop Jakes, and my use of this story is not an endorsement of Brother Jakes' ministry or anything of that. I'm just simply telling you the story. Brother Jakes says that this young man came before him and said, I want the kind of anointing that you have on your life. And so Bishop Jakes laid hands on him and begin to pray for him, and begin to pray that God would give him trouble and pain and heartache, and that he would give this young man situations that would challenge him. And the young man said, wait, stop. Why are you praying all that bad stuff about me? And Brother Jake said, well, listen, son, you can't walk in my anointing until you've been through some of the things that I've been through. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Amen. We, this morning, there is no substitute for touching God yourself. There is no substitute for sharpening your edge. Amen. You could come and let me pray over you this morning. Amen. And you're not going to receive it. But let me just tell you, when you get alone with God, he said, when we enter into our prayer closet to pray to the Father in secret, and the Father which sees in secret will reward us openly. How will he reward us? He'll reward us by allowing us to walk in the anointing and walk in the power of his Spirit and walk, amen, in his blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How about you this morning? Have you lost your edge? Have you lost your Holy Ghost edge? Have you lost your anointing? Amen. Have your spiritual senses become dull? Let me just tell you, nothing dull cuts very well. Can you say amen? As a matter of fact, a dull knife is more dangerous than a sharp one. I've got some folks going, and some of you ladies that have cut up chicken know what I'm talking about. Somebody, and some of you younger women are going, cut up chicken? Sorry. I'm showing my age. Hey, man, a dull razor. I am the beatenest thing when it comes to a razor. I will use it and use it until it doesn't cut the hair. It just pulls it out. And I got a closet full of razors. I could change it. And when I do change it, I'm like, oh, that's how it's supposed to feel. Wow. A dull razor doesn't shave too well. A dull knife can't cut. And a dull axe won't chop wood. Hello? What I'm saying this morning is you gotta have an edge, and your edge is the Holy Spirit. And if you want to grow, you gotta be able to have an edge of the Holy Ghost to help you grow. We've got to have the Holy Spirit in our life to help us to grow. The third thing that I want to talk about is restoration. I want to point out the fact that even though he had lost the edge, he was not without hope. He was not without recourse. There was still a divine intervention that could take place. Look at verse 5 through verse 6 and 7. He's falling the tree. The axe falls into the water and he cries, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." And the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he shows him the place right there. How many of you know iron does not float? Doesn't happen. Iron does not float. He said it went right in right there. The man of God cut down a stick, cut down a branch from a tree, cast it into the water. And the Bible said that the iron swam. The iron came back to the top. The iron didn't alter its properties. Gravity just gave way to the supernatural. Gravity just obeyed God. Can you say amen? Amen. It floated right back to the top when the tree was cast into the water. Let me just tell you this morning, that is a picture of the cross. That is a picture of the cross. When you apply the tree, when you apply the cross to your situation, amen, you can expect some divine intervention. Let me give you another example. Do you remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt's bondage and they came to the bitter waters of Marah? I mean, they've been going days without water. And they finally see this little body of water up there, and they're like, "Hey, thank God it's water." And when they get there, they couldn't drink it because it was bitter water. And Moses prayed, and this is what God told him to do. He said, "Take that tree right there and cast that tree into the water." And when he cast the tree into the water, amen, the Bible said that the bitter waters were made sweet again. That's a picture of the cross. That's a picture of the cross. This man of God takes down that branch and he throws it into the water. And when the branch is thrown into the water, the iron swims. Amen. I'm just here to tell you this morning, maybe you have lost your edge. Maybe you have become comfortable with the ordinary and the mundane, and you have failed to pray, amen, God, help me grow. Amen. What I'm telling you this morning, you may have lost your edge, but if you will just go to the cross, if you will just apply the tree to the cross, his cross will make the difference in your life. He will restore your edge. He will restore your joy. He will restore your peace of mind and your anointing and your presence of his Holy Spirit in your life. Let me close with an illustration that I read the other day. It's a story about a man who had gone to the World's Fair many years ago in Chicago. And he said when he arrived, he saw down the fairway. He saw a man dressed in bright gypsy clothing and he was pumping water. And he said, the more I watched him, the more I was just astounded at his
at his enthusiasm, and I was astounded at his physical effort. He was moving a lot of water. He just kept moving, just chugging along. Nothing slowed him down. He said, I watched to see if he would take a break. No, he just kept pumping water. He said, I admired his stamina. I admired his physical effort. And he said, I began to walk down that way. And the closer that I got to where he was, I realized that it was not a man at all, but that it was a carving of a man. It was made of wood. And it was not the man who was turning the pump and causing the water to flow. It was the water turning the man and causing the water to continue to flow. Let me just tell you this morning, all of our efforts are futile. But when the anointing of the Holy Ghost, when the anointing of the Holy Spirit flows in your heart and in your life, our work becomes easy. Because it is not us, it is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that moves us. If you have lost your edge this morning, if you are in a spiritually small place, then we need to pray and we need to ask God to cause us to grow. Amen. Let's pray this morning that God will give us a breakthrough and that God will give us a new vision and a new growth in our relationship with Him. The Bible makes us a promise, and I close with this. Jesus said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you're not hungry and you're not thirsty, don't expect to be fed. But when you get hungry and you get thirsty for more and more and more and more of Him, He will meet you at that point. He will meet you at that place. And He will grow your spirit. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed all over the building this morning, if you will, please. Are you living in a spiritually small place? Understand you don't have to. Understand that there is no reason for you to continue to be there. Allow the Holy Spirit to sharpen the edge, to cause you to grow, to cause you to be built up and made stronger in the knowledge and in the faith of our Christ. Father, in Jesus' name, while every head is bowed this morning and while every eye is closed, I pray, Father God, that You would take the words that I have endeavored to speak, that You would give them life, that You would cause them to penetrate our heart and open the eyes of our understanding, that we may recognize and that we may see that there is indeed room for growth, that there is indeed room for growth. Cause us to understand that we must have the edge of the Holy Spirit to cause us to be effective in our witness for You, to cause us to be effective in serving You, in building Your kingdom. Of our own selves, we can do nothing. We need You to give us the edge. We need Your water flowing through our life. We need Your Holy Spirit keeping us turning. Speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. And if we have lost our edge, then I pray in the name of Jesus that we will come to the cross and that we will find restoration at the feet of the Master this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. How many of you here this morning would be willing to slip up a hand and say, Pastor Gary, I'm hungry to grow for the Lord. Yes, yes. I'm hungry to grow in the knowledge of Christ. I'm hungry to grow. I want to experience more of His love, more of His glory in my life. Hands lifted all over the building. Maybe you're here this morning and you would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Preacher, I've lost my edge. I've lost my edge. God sees some hands going there and there and there and there. I've lost my edge. I need the Holy Spirit to sharpen my edge today. Mando raba kiyoto raba sikata la 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 bokushata. Hands lifted. Stand to your feet all over the building, please, if you will. Stand to your feet all over. Lift your hands right straight up toward heaven. And let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Listen, my prayer is no substitute for yours. Call upon the name of the Lord. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, you have seen every hand that's been lifted. There are hungry hearts. There are individuals that feel like they have lost their cutting edge. They're living in a small place spiritually. And oh God, we are hungry. We are hungry to grow. We are hungry, amen, to expand. We desire more of your presence in our life. Wash us, cleanse us, fill us, baptize us. Overflow our spirit, oh God, with your presence. Cause us to be enlarged. Lord, as the deer pants after the water brook, our soul this morning is longing for more of you. Lord, we come seeking your presence. Fill your temple this morning, oh God. The temple of your people. Fill your temple with the glory and the majesty of your presence as we worship and reach out to you this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Glory to God, glory to God. Just slip your hands up while they come and they begin to sing again. Lift up your hands and just magnify the Lord. Receive what he has for you this morning. Receive what he has for you. Let him flood your spirit with his presence. Let him flood your heart this morning with the power of his Holy Spirit. Let him fill your heart this morning to overflowing with joy and peace and his mercy and his power. Hallelujah, hallelujah.